a dozen. Mission.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News. Radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news.
This is CNN Breaking News. This is CNN Breaking News. CNN Breaking News. CNN Breaking News. CNN Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking, 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 breaking news.
Joe Mullen at Ars Technica reports that in 2013, U.S. District Judge Richard Leon ruled against the National Security Agency's bulk collection of phone records, but did not shut it down until an appeals court could weigh in. Well, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals last week reversed Clayman versus Obama, with one of the three judges, David Sentell, saying it ought to be dismissed. Quote, Judges Stephen Williams and Janice Rogers Brown declined to discuss the legality of the NSA's program and instead maintained that its opponents had not met the proper threshold for forcing a preliminary injunction, as the lower court had ordered a year and a half ago. Unquote. Julian Haddam wrote in The Hill, the new USA Freedom Act passed in June, weakening and strengthening different parts of the Patriot Act, and allowing a 180-day window for continuing bulk warrantless surveillance. Mostly, though, the judges sidestepped the issue of Americans being spied upon by their own government and instead argued that the plaintiff in this particular case does not have standing to challenge the law. Quote, plaintiffs are Verizon Wireless subscribers and not Verizon Business Network Services subscribers, unquote. Brown wrote in her opinion, quote, thus the facts marshaled by plaintiffs do not fully establish that their own metadata was ever collected, unquote. Joe Mullen at Ars Technica reports that in 2013, U.S. District Judge Richard Leon ruled against the National Security Agency's bulk collection of phone records, but did not shut it down until an appeals court could weigh in. Well, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals last week reversed Clayman versus Obama, with one of the three judges, David Sentell, saying it ought to be dismissed. Quote, Judges Stephen Williams and Janice Rogers Brown declined to discuss the legality of the NSA's program and instead maintained that its opponents had not met the proper threshold for forcing a preliminary injunction, as the lower court had ordered a year and a half ago. Unquote. Julian Haddam wrote in The Hill, the new USA Freedom Act passed in June, weakening and strengthening different parts of the Patriot Act, and allowing a 180-day window for continuing bulk warrantless surveillance. Mostly, though, the judges sidestepped the issue of Americans being spied upon by their own government and instead argued that the plaintiff in this particular case does not have standing to challenge the law. Quote, plaintiffs are Verizon Wireless subscribers and not Verizon Business Network Services subscribers, unquote. Brown wrote in her opinion, quote, thus the facts marshaled by plaintiffs do not fully establish that their own metadata was ever collected, unquote. Nicholas Kwa reports for Nieman Lab that Julie Shapiro has been hired away as executive director of Third Coast Festival to be executive producer of Radiotopia. Radiotopia was in the news in May, winning a $1 million grant from the Knight Foundation. The audio group launched in February 2014 and includes the shows 99% Invisible from Roman Mars and Criminal from Lawrence Spohr and Phoebe Judge. In the last 18 months, the similar networks to Radiotopia, Soundworks, Infinite, Guest, Gimlet, the Loudspeakers Network, and Wolfpop have all launched, with Midroll creating the Howl app. Shapiro founded Third Coast Festival in 2000 as a big independent radio conference summit party in Chicago. Shapiro, besides starting the Third Coast Conference, also co-produced Third Coast Filmless Festival and edited the ReSound audio show. After the mainstream success of the Serial podcast in 2014 that claimed 40 million downloads, radio companies have been hiring and working on new shows and distribution. In August, the U.S. Podcast Conference podcast movement drew more than 1,000 audio storytellers from around the globe to Fort Worth, Texas to discuss the medium, and Wired reports 2013's 1.9 billion listens rose to 2.6 billion in 2014, according to Nielsen data. Those were this week's radio news headlines.
There is only
only one man who can rid the politics of this state of the evil domination of Boss Jim Geddes.
Great.
I am speaking of Charles Foster Kane, the fighting liberal, the friend of the working man, the next governor of this state, who entered upon this campaign
with one purpose only, to point out and make public the dishonesty, the downright villainy of Boss Jim W. Geddes' political machine. Now in complete control of the government of this state, I made no campaign promises, because until a few weeks ago, I had no hope of being elected. Now, however, I have something more than a hope. And Jim Geddes has something less than a chance. Every straw vote, every independent poll shows that I'll be elected. Now I can afford to make some promises. And the slum child know they can expect my best efforts in their interests. The decent, ordinary citizens know that I'll do everything in my power to protect the underprivileged, the underpaid, and the underfed.
Mother, is Pop Governor yet?
Not yet, Junior.
Well, I'd make my promises now if I weren't too busy arranging to keep them. Here's one promise I'll make. And Boss Jim Geddes knows I'll keep it. My first official act as governor of this state will be to appoint a special district attorney to arrange for the indictment, prosecution, and conviction of Boss Jim W. Geddes!
That was a short clip from the film Citizen Kane, with Orson Welles in the title role giving his political speech. And if anyone has wondered if new presidential candidate Donald Trump has an opinion on Citizen Kane, here's the answer from an interview with director Errol Morris.
The word Rosebud is maybe the most significant word in film, in what we all watch. The wealth, the sorrow, the unhappiness, the happiness just struck lots of different notes. Citizen Kane was really about accumulation. And at the end of the accumulation, you see what happens, and it's not necessarily all positive. Not positive. I think you learn in Kane that maybe wealth isn't everything, because he had the wealth, but he didn't have the happiness. The table getting larger and larger and larger, with he and his wife getting further and further apart as he got wealthier and wealthier. Perhaps I can understand that. The relationship that he had was not a good one for him, probably not a great one for her, although there were benefits for her. But in the end, she was certainly not a happy camper. In real life, I believe that wealth does, in fact, isolate you from other people. It's a protective mechanism. You have your guard up, much more so than you would if you didn't have wealth. There was a great rise in Citizen Kane. And there was a modest fall. The fall wasn't a financial fall, the fall was a personal fall. But it was a fall nevertheless. So you had the highs and you had the lows. A lot of people don't really understand the significance of it. I'm not sure if anybody understands the significance, but I think the significance is bringing a lonely, rather sad figure back into his childhood. The word Rosebud, for whatever reason, has captivated moviegoers and movie watchers for so many years, and to this day is perhaps the single word. And perhaps if they came up with another word that meant the same thing, it wouldn't have worked. But Rosebud works.
Rosebud works.
Right. For whatever reason.
Now, if you could give Charles Foster Kane advice, what would you say to him?
Get yourself a different woman.
Trump may have strong opinions about Citizen Kane, but he apparently has his own Rosebud. Here is a mashup of Donald Trump from the Huffington Post.
Let's say China. China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
You go over to China.
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 You take China.
China.
China. I love them. China.
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 China. I have to have my China.
China.
China. Because China.
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 China. Now.
China.
China. You know, China.
I know China very well. China.
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 China. China.
China. China. China.
Northwest Wisconsin, where I'm from.
It's China to me. China. China,
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 China. You want to buy from China? That's great. Buy from China. Buy toys from China.
China in particular.
China.
China.
I have people that I know in China.
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 I've been saying China.
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 Let me ask you about China.
China. I go to China.
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 China. People from China, they love me. China. China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
In China, they say I don't like China. I love China.
People think I don't like China. I love China.
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 Is the new China, by the way.
China.
China.
China. I deal with China.
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 Big league. China.
So don't tell me about China. I know China. China.
China. China.
China.
China.
Whether it's China, China.
So if you went to China and you wanted to get a job in China.
I don't knock China. How could I dislike China? A man from China. China. You have China. Carl, take China. China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China's over here. Look at what China's doing. They're learning from China. China.
China.
Okay.
Look at that. Isn't that nice? China.
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 China. China,
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 China. And by the way, I love China. I mean, I love China. How can you not love China? I love China.
China,
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 China. And you know China,
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 South China,
China,
China. People say, oh, you don't like China. I like China.
China.
I love China.
China.
China all the time.
China. When was the last time you heard China?
Next on This Week in Radio News, we talk to Viv Coringham about her Shadow Walks project. I'm Tom Rowe here with Vivian Coringham from Manhattan, and then this summer from Woodstock area.
Yeah.
You're up at Bird Cliff this summer?
That's right, at the Art Colony.
And you're also a 2015 artist in residence at Harvest Works in Manhattan?
Yeah, which is an amazing sort of media arts, digital media art center. Mm.
And I'll just read your bio a little bit real quickly. You're a British vocalist, composer, and sound artist living in New York and has worked internationally since the 1980s. Including performances, installations, radio art, and sound walks. You're a 2012 and 2006 McKnight Composer Fellow through American Composers Forum and certified to teach deep listening by composer Pauline Oliveras. And you're on the board too at Deep Listening?
I am, yeah.
And so welcome here to the Wave Farm. And what have you been working on this summer up in Woodstock?
Well, I've been working on a project that I've been doing for about 12 years, actually, and that's probably going to get mentioned quite a lot in this program because most of the works I've brought relate to it. And it's called Shadow Walks, and it's where I go somewhere and I ask people who live in the place to take me on a walk that sort of has some meaning for them, you know, that they've done regularly. Yeah, so they take me on the walk and I record it. So I record our conversations, you know, and the sounds of the walk. And then what I do afterwards, I go back and I sing my memory of the walk because I do sort of improvised vocalizing and, my impressions of the walk. And then I edit the whole thing together. So I've been doing that in Woodstock with all kinds of interesting characters, including someone who's called Grandpa Woodstock, who a lot of people, apparently, even in Japan, they've heard of him. He stands on the green and makes the peace sign, stands on a box making a peace sign all day long, really. And that's sort of his mission is to spread peace and love in a good Woodstock tradition.
And who else has led you on shadow walks in Woodstock?
A guy called Shiv, who has a lot of connections with India, though actually his background is Italian. And he has a poetry, I think he has a printing thing and also a shop that sells poetry books. He was a very interesting character, actually, who kind of, you know, bemoans the fact that most people come to Woodstock and all they do is shop. You know, it's just like a big shopping mall to them. And so he took me to some of the places I might not have found otherwise. And that's always, you know, one of the great pleasures of this project, actually, that I see places that, you know, tourists, it's very hard as a tourist to know where to go.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, it seems like there's several different results. Like, what are you aiming for, you to meet interesting people or to see interesting places or to get different stories to retell or re-sing, I guess?
Well, all those things are very interesting, but I guess my main aim is to sort of work on people's sense of place. That's what really interests me. You know, what is it that bonds people to particular places? And I find that fascinating. And, you know, when you go on a walk with someone, I mean, I'm a complete stranger to them, and yet they tell me so much about themselves just by the walk they choose, in a way, because all I have to do really is say, why is this walk special for you? And, you know, there'll be their memories, their history. They'll tell me all kinds of amazing stories.
And this is something you've been doing over and over again in different locations, so it's kind of site-specific.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've been doing it really for 12 years, and I think Woodstock is the 21st incarnation of it. So it's quite amazing, actually, how it's kept my interest. And, of course, everyone is totally different because of the people you walk with. You know, for example, I did one in Florence and, you know, all the tourists are in one part of the city and I'm sort of in back streets in a in a seedy area that no one will ever see, really. Except
you weren't asking the tourists for walks. You were trying to find the...
It's the inhabitants I'm interested in. I want to know, what is it that connects you to your home? That's what fascinates me.
And have you found difference? I guess you've done this all over the world. You've found differences or similarities in the... And what has struck you, I guess, by...
Yeah, I think it's much more similar than it is different. When I first moved to America, I moved to Minnesota. And I was thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do any walks here. You know, looking out and there's like 3 feet of snow on the ground and there's really nobody walking.
They actually build artificial indoor spaces to walk in Minnesota.
That's right. That's what I discovered. Yes, they use the shopping malls. And there's a whole breed called mall walkers. And I went and sort of seized on one and said, can I walk with you? And I mean, it was so interesting to do that. So, you know, I think there's more similarities than differences. It's like you ask anybody through throughout the world almost, you know, take me on a special walk. And they kind of know what you mean. I thought it would be very hard to to get that across, but actually people do know what I mean.
And do you sing back the walks to the people in front of them, or do they hear recordings of it later? And if so, what is the reaction from people?
They hear it when it's a finished piece, because one of the little rules I have is that I always want it to go back to the community where it came from. And generally speaking, I'm commissioned to do it by someone. I mean, in Florence, for example, it was Radio Papessi. Yeah, so they commissioned me. So then they set up a listening session for people who wanted to hear. And not everybody I walked with came, but it was open to everybody. And then it was kind of available online. So, you know, so people get to hear it. And generally, I think they're quite surprised. I mean, it's hard to know what people think, really, because they sort of have to be polite, don't they? That's a load of old rubbish.
Now, do you just sing it unadorned, or do you go back and record it with an orchestra and effects, pedals and such?
Not at all. No, my rule for myself really is that everything that ends up on the final piece has been recorded on site. So, you know, I just go and I sing unadorned, walking along the path on my own, not with...
On the same trail that you first covered.
Yeah,
so everything's the same except for the lack of the first person telling the stories.
Perfect. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yes.
So you're the ghost, the stand-in kind of for the person.
I am. That's why I call it shadow walk.
Shadow. Yeah. Shadow. You're the shadow. I see. Yeah. I was thinking the shadow was following both of you, but no, I see now.
Well, in a way, the shadow might be. I don't know.
There's shadows many... follow and lead. And
many permutations of this, but I like the idea of the ghost thing, because it does feel like that. You know, and as I'm walking, I am really remembering things they've said, and mainly what I sing is improvised, wordless vocals, but occasionally there's like a word comes through so strongly I have to sort of sing it or say it. And it's very quiet, by the way. People think I'm doing a sort of grand opera performance, but it's really very discreet. I have these binaural microphones that sort of sit either side of my ear, and, you know, they kind of look like I'm listening to something. So I'm singing very quietly because the mic is close.
And is that important to you, to recreate the listening? You have them similar to ears and hearing?
Yeah.
Is that...
Yeah, it is important. And I think that's right. And I think the discretion is very important too. So I don't want to disturb anything. You know, I'm just walking along singing. And I have to say, it's got much easier now everybody's on their phone. Because I'm really not loud at all in comparison to most people that I pass. Nobody notices. Nobody really notices I'm singing.
People are louder than they were 10 or 20 years ago? Is that what you're saying?
It feels a bit like that, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, people shout into their phones in a way that they probably wouldn't have shouted to a person walking with them.
That's true, yeah. So, we've all heard that a lot, yes. Did this... I'm wondering how this grew out of your radio artwork. I guess in the early days of radio, people thought they could speak to ghosts and the beyond. What is the link with your radio? I guess it's a really intimate listening project.
It's a very intimate one. And to tell you the truth, I've not been making work specifically for radio until about the last two or three years. And I've made, you know, I was commissioned by Radio Papessi, and I worked on Resonance a bit in the early days. I had a show there called Vocal Strolls, where I was sort of wandering around singing with the environment. What was the question? Oh, yes. So the fit with radio, I think... I'm sometimes a bit slow at realizing things, and it took me maybe 9 years to realize that what I'm doing is actually a really good fit for radio, because, you know, it combines, it's like a collage. It's got people talking, it's got the sounds of the place, it's got me singing. And talking and singing, I think, you know, radio has no problem with that in a way that, say, classical music does have a bit of a problem, you know.
And the low-level, quieter singing, too, is very suited for radio, because it can be... you can be quiet and loud at the same time with opposed to like an orchestra or, you know, a symphony hall or something. I don't know. It's different than that.
It is different. Yeah, it is. So I'm really glad that I suddenly thought, oh, this is so nice to work. And it's slightly changed the way I've worked.
I was going to ask that question next. Do you sing differently because you're thinking of a different audience that's not present?
Well, you know, I'm not really thinking of the audience at all when I'm singing. I'm actually thinking of the person I walked with pretty exclusively. So I'm not, I think it probably hasn't changed that so much, but it's changed the way I edit the piece. I think it's let me, I feel a bit more relaxed about it. I can put more space in it, and I can also switch the, you know, the kind of acoustic space from one to another in a bit more easily than I was doing. When I was thinking of these as sort of, you know, these are music pieces. People think they're social documentary, but I know they're music. You know, when I was desperately trying to be sort of a composer thing, it made me much more careful about blending one space with another. And, you know, I wouldn't want to jump from a small space to a large space. And I really feel with radio, you don't have to worry about that. And there's also this other thing like radio space, whatever that is, that's something else that you can drop into from time to time. And it's a kind of another place, another space. And I love that.
All right. So this is Vivian Cunningham and Shadow Walks in Melbourne. Tom Rowe for This Week in Radio News from Wave Farm and WGXC in upstate New York.